Our first reading today can lead us into temptation. It is not prescriptive of the state of the world, although hearing it read like that, we immediately identify our own low points with what Job is saying here in chapter 7. However, we need to bear in mind that by the end of the book of Job, Job has come into a whole new realization of God and the world around him and his own place in it. Here in chapter 7, his three friends have started reminding him that his only place in the world is that of a sinner, and therefore he deserves the pain and the horror that he is going through, and he must merely examine his life for his guilt, repent, and then everything will come right and all the riches of the world will come raining down upon him. That, of course, is nonsense. And the book of Job explores that nonsensical view that we might have of creation, either simply as a place of suffering and anxiety and goalless pain, or as simply the place which we can manipulate with our relationship to God to pour down riches into our lap and to make life more comfortable for us. Job challenges this dualistic way of looking at the world. Evil equals suffering, and goodness equals money and lots of it, and health and attractiveness and plenty of fans and all the rest. Job challenges that. So in some sense, it doesn't really work as today's first reading, because the first reading is intended to have some sort of harmony with the gospel. And we have here, near the beginning of Mark's Gospel, Jesus returning from the Sabbath and starting a mission of healing. Mark's Gospel is very peculiar in many ways. And the best way, I think, of reading Mark's Gospel is a bit like screenplay. He uses the word immediately quite often, which doesn't survive many translations. In the Greek, it's kaiuthos. Everything's kaiuthos, and immediately, and straight away, Jesus does this. It's almost as if Mark is here writing that the camera lens cut away from one set of action and immediately move into the next set of action. So it's very graphic. It's a very powerful picture. And of course, because it's so graphic, because Mark's Gospel is so picture-like, we need to look at the whole scene being set. We need to pay attention to the times of day. We need to pay attention to the unfolding of days as they are given to us in Mark's Gospel. And here we have the first great week mentioned in Mark's Gospel. Jesus starts his ministry on the Sabbath, representing everything that God has revealed up to that point, the worship that has grown up in the revelation from Sinai. And on that day, he brings healing to Simon's mother-in-law. Now, I've always wondered what role this episode really, really plays. I mean, yes, it introduces other episodes of more profound healing, but also I suspect there's some ancient mother-in-law joke wrapped up in this, just to loosen us up a little bit before a more powerful image hits us. A bit like you see in a very good movie, where there's a moment of relief which allows us to fully enter the tension of the narrative immediately afterwards. And it's quite explicit in Mark that in the evening, that is at the end of the Sabbath, which would mean now the first day of the week, which we call Sunday, all sorts of people in chaotic conditions are brought to Jesus, and out of their chaos he draws healing, and he draws life, and he draws a new beginning. Now, it doesn't take a great leap of insight to see the first day of the week and the ending of the chaos of sickness and demon possession as picturing the first day of the week in Genesis, where God's words speak order to the mess which the world started from, to the chaos from which the Spirit drew forth the world in all its order, in all its beauty, and in all its arrangements. Jesus is busy creating a new beginning, is busy bringing to fruition creation. And the notion of a week will continue to expand throughout Mark's Gospel until we reach that final great week of Jesus' life, culminating in the whole new creation of his resurrection. And all through Mark's Gospel, there are these indications of time and of days, particular days of the week, which we must constantly refer back to the initial days of creation in Genesis. So we are being told that Jesus is bringing about a new reality, a new creation, a new universe, because early in the morning he is found, and his disciples, of course, exaggerate, like anybody in looking for their leader, everyone is looking for you. Well, by the time he's finished healing most of the people in the city, there'd be very few people looking for him. Anyway, that little exaggeration aside, he then extends this ministry of mercy and this ministry of healing to everyone in the surrounding towns, in the surrounding area. What is local becomes universal. What belongs to us affects the entire world. And so with Jesus' resurrection and with Jesus' ministry, what Job is lamenting early on in that book of Job in chapter 7 is turned upside down. The world is not a place of pain and anxiety and grief and ceaseless distortion of the human spirit. The world is a place in which order and love and light and insight may be embraced. It is exactly this reality which allows us the opportunity to grow in relationship with God, to grow to a future where all chaos is put aside and where we are part of that stream, putting aside chaos, the chaos of war, the chaos of capital punishment, the pain and the demon possession of unjust political dispensations, where we are called to put it aside through a manner of healing and of preaching, through the manner of our own insight and the growth of our relationship with God. Not like Job's friends, out of self-righteousness and a false sense of knowing everything about God, but rather from the humility which reaches out in healing to touch the lives of others with the power of creation, with the power of bringing about order. And all of this together forms a most profound challenge for anyone who sees the world as simply capricious happenstance. Because we can argue as much as we like that everything is just as it is out of some cosmic accident and out of some quantum fluctuation that is meaningless in itself. The very fact that there is a human consciousness which can comprehend the notion of creation, comprehend the notion of recreation, comprehend the notion of grace and of healing and of new beginnings, makes the capriciousness of the universe simply disappear. Yes, there is a lot of suffering in the natural world. We hear of it red in tooth and claw, as the poet says. However, all of this great palette of life is pointed to sustenance, to upholding, to keeping us living and breathing and able to come to deeper insight, to open our consciousness to making sense of all that is around us, and making sense of the presence of healing, and being an agent of that healing as we see how necessary and how real it is for our world. Today's gospel is a challenge to discipleship, the discipleship of following Jesus, who brings new healing, a new creation, a restart of order, of life, and of love, not only to his own village, but to the world entire and the universe complete. Amen.